So, my dear, the day you have always dreamed of has arrived. The day you become Bride of Chaotica!
The following episode of Brides of Chaotica is a special bonus episode in which Taylor and her cousin Chloe will be discussing the experiences that they had at Star Trek Las Vegas 2023. This will be more free form. Well, I mean, not really any of our episodes are structured in any way, but this will definitely just be the two of them talking about their experiences, especially the experience of a non-Trekkie coming into the Star Trek Las Vegas convention before getting involved in the franchise whatsoever. So if you're into that, stick around, listen, and if not, feel free to skip to the next episode in which Elizabeth and Taylor tackle another episode of Star Trek together. We also apologize for any audio mess-ups on Taylor's end. New apartment, what are you going to do? Still working out the kinks. Hello, and welcome to the Brides of Chaotica, a chaotic Star Trek podcast. I'm Taylor, a bona fide Trekkie, and today I am not joined by my typical co-star, Elizabeth. Instead, I am joined by a previous guest that we've had on the show, my other best friend and cousin, Chloe, to bring you a bonus episode of the BOC Pod, where Chloe and I are going to talk about our experience at the Star Trek Las Vegas convention, STLV, which is a staple of the franchise. It has been around for so long. I think it's one of the longest running Star Trek specific conventions. I dragged Chloe to the convention with me, and so we're going to talk about that today, but without further ado, how are you doing today, Chloe?
Hello, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So you were on our podcast a couple months ago, where we recorded Little Green Men, a Deep Space Nine episode, that you and I watched together, and we recorded with Elizabeth. How has your relationship to Star Trek changed in the past 2 months?
I feel like it's taken off at Warp 9, actually. had to throw it in. Into all of the different quadrants. It's definitely taken off. I feel like at first, especially with the con, I had no idea what to expect. At that point, I had only seen some of the like key episodes that you showed me. Mm-hmm. But after we went and after how much we talked about it, it seemed like a very good show to get more into. So I decided to take that leap. And I am currently in season 3 of The Next Generation. So I've been speeding through those ones and watching that and trying to watch them in the suggested order, but it has definitely increased since we filmed that pod.
I love it so much. I also love, so for the listeners, when she talks about like a specific order, I watched the series in a very strange order. I watched Next Generation, and then I went to Voyager, and then I went to Deep Space Nine. So I have suggested that Chloe do the same thing just because I really liked how that went. And I know I have shown you episodes of Voyager, and I know that you're excited to get there. You've always told me that you are begrudgingly a Star Trek fan now. You were more hesitant to join the franchise. Can you tell me why that is?
Mainly because I had a million and one episodes to watch if I decided to do
it. Is that really the reason?
No, I think just because I knew, like for me, when I watch a show, I want to understand the entirety of the show. I want to know the characters. I want to know why the story is progressing, how it is, where it started and where it ended up. So part of it was that I knew there was going to be a lot of episodes that I needed to watch and also pay attention to, even though some of them are more like episodic, So you don't necessarily need to watch all of them in order, but that's how I like to watch shows. And I don't know, just growing up, everyone always kind of made fun of Star Trek. It was like a thing. Like everything when I was growing up was Star Wars. Like, go Star Wars. Star Wars is amazing. And then anytime anyone watched, like mentioned Star Trek, they were just like, oh, that show's so weird, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of like grew up with that. And then also, as you know, our uncle loves Star Trek. But yeah. Again, growing up, my dad and even my mom were just like, oh my God, that's all he watched. And it's just a weird space show. And so like, for me, like I've always loved sci-fi, but I just didn't really know what to expect. And I think just having kind of that, the background of it, of not, I mean, and that's on me. Like I never usually judge a show based on what other people say or a movie. Like I always do it based on my interest. But you know, when you're growing up in an elementary school, middle school, you're like, yeah, that show's so weird. Even though you don't have any idea what they're talking about because you've never seen it. I think it was kind of that also, but obviously knowing you and your love for Star Trek and how often we talked about it, and especially after the con, it really kind of sparked my interest more. So
yeah, I think it's so easy because I was the same way, and I've talked about this a little bit on the podcast as well, but my only frame of reference for Star Trek was like the guys from the Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that they were like made fun of by people. Yeah, for liking Star Trek, so like I would make fun of them and be like, "Oh my god, like they like Star Trek? That's so weird." Like, meh. And then like during the pandemic, I watched it and I was like, "Oh, this is like a quality show that has a really bad rap." And I'm so obsessed with it now because it's just so, it's one of the few franchises that just looks at things positively. Like there's hope in humanity, which I love.
Yeah, like, I think it does such a good job of that. And I think, yeah, when you brought up the Big Bang Theory, it reminded me, my only other exposure to Star Trek was when I was working on Catalina, which I was in a very weird headspace there trying to survive basically on an island. But my friend at the time who lived with us on the island, she also was living there, told me that her family loved Star Trek. And so I was the only one of our friend group that had a DVD player. And so we would have these nights where we would pick a show and watch it. And I had no frame of reference for what Star Trek was. And her family loves the like old, old school one from like the 60s.
What's it called?
And Star Trek.
Abbreviation. Come on, you know.
ST.
TOS, the original series. It's okay.
What is it? OTS?
TOS.
Oh, TOS.
The original series.
That makes sense.
That's okay. I haven't told you about like TOS that much because I haven't watched that much of it. I'm watching it right now for reasons. Okay.
So TOS, that was the only exposure I had had, and we used to try to watch it with a lot of people there, but I think I wasn't fully paying attention, and also some of the episodes from what I watched were just very strange.
They're weird. The thing that I love about Star Trek is that there's a series for everybody. Like, if you like certain things, you can watch like a specific series. If you like war dramas, Deep Space Nine. If you like happy nostalgia feeling, watch Next Generation. Like if you like some pirate diplomacy, watch Voyager. If you're super into campy sci-fi, watch the original series. Like it's not everybody's thing, so it's okay. It's okay.
Right.
It's weird. And like I feel like I'm just now watching it because I want to be more informed about everything in the series. But I'm going into it very aware that like this is very campy and it is very ridiculous and it's easier to digest. But when you have no frame of reference for it,
right.
It'd be like, why are these whales telepathic?
No, that's literally the episode I was getting. That's the last episode I saw was the telepathic whales. And all I could say was, I was like, are these whales communicating? And my friend got so mad at us because we didn't understand the symbolism of it. And I was just like, this show I don't think is for me. And I didn't know, again, very oblivious to the Star Trek world. I thought that's all they had. I thought TOS was the only thing for Star Trek, the only show that had ever been created. And so I was just like, nah, I don't want to watch it. So I didn't know about TNG. I didn't know about Voyager. I didn't know about DS9. Mm-hmm. Didn't know about anything at that point. And I mean, at that point, Picard hadn't been created yet, but I had no idea. So I was like, if this is the only thing, it's not my jam. So that's why I was also hesitant.
That's totally fair. That's why, like, when I wanted you to watch it, I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I don't want you to watch the original series because I haven't seen that yet. I want you to watch, like, the 90s ones because the 90s ones are so good. And when you get there, like, Strange New Worlds is so good. And Picard, so good. Third season, debatable. Lots of controversial opinions there for everybody. But for the most part, really, really good. So it makes sense that there would be a little bit of hesitancy to dive in when that's what you were told about it, though that's what you saw of it, and there wasn't this knowledge that there was, like, these really cool 90s series, which are my personal favorites, as you know.
Really? I had no idea.
Shut up. So tell me what you first thought when I invited you to go to the convention with me. Before we're there, we're not there yet. What were your thoughts when I was like, Chloe, come with me to a Star Trek convention in Las Vegas for 4 days?
It was an immediate hell no.
That's not true. That is not true. That is inaccurate.
I was hesitant, though. I mean, it wasn't an immediate hell no. It was a considerate potential no. I think...
I'll give you that.
Thank you. I think, again, because I've never been to any sort of con, all I have seen is posts about it on Instagram, interviews with, you know, stars that I like from certain shows, and I just think it was a lot. And also the only frame of reference I've had for a lot of that is just seeing a lot of people dressed up, going places, going to panels. And because I've never been to one, and I think that it just seemed like a lot. And so I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go where a bunch of people are dressed up as aliens.
I mean, and not entirely inaccurate. I will say, so for the listeners out there, my cousin and I lived together for a long time. And then I got into a grad school that is like across the country from her. So we're not together right now.
Sad day.
Very sad. And so I was like, I used the fact that I was moving in order to convince to have a last hurrah with me in Vegas, which wasn't not true by any means. Like, it was true, but I was also like, I want you to come to this thing with me so bad.
That is accurate. That was the main reason I was considering saying yes, and why I was like, I'm going to put a pin in this for a little bit, is because I knew you were leaving and we didn't have an opportunity from the time you told me, from the time you got accepted to when you were leaving. Like, there was no time to do it. Or money for that matter, until we saved up for the con. Yeah.
Not cheap.
No. College and rent is not cheap.
Oh my God. Life is expensive.
Yes, being an adult. So I was like, okay, I kind of want to do this because Taylor and I always have a super fun time on road trips. And this is her last hurrah before she moves coast to coast. So I think I was hesitant to the point where you told me you got in. And then I was like, oh, she's leaving in a few months, is not going to be here. So therefore, this trip has to happen regardless of how many aliens I come into contact with. So I was like, all right, let's go. So that's kind of what pushed me over initially, was that you got in and I knew you weren't going to be here after that point. So yeah. I figured I could brave whatever costumes I came into contact with.
I love that your thought was, I'm going to see some weird shit.
Pretty much. I was like, things are going to go down at this convention.
Not entirely inaccurate, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had no idea how they worked either, because you had told me about the one you went to the summer prior with Sarah. And mm-hmm. I think like that summary version is like a teeny tiny piece of what it actually was. So I had no idea. I was just like, oh, you see people and dress up and take pictures and that's it. Like, so I had no idea what to expect, but I knew we needed to go together because it was going to be cousin's trip 2023 and the last one for a while. So
yes. And I lost my thought. Hold on. Oh shit, what was I gonna say? One second. Got it. And I also love that you weren't necessarily a big fan at the time, because for me, I think this has been pretty consistent in my life in the past few years. I love taking people with no Star Trek experience whatsoever and showing them Star Trek. Like I, like Sarah, who you mentioned, when I took her to the last con, she had never seen a single episode of Star Trek until the night after the convention. So like we went to the convention, she hadn't seen an episode. That night she saw her first episode. And like this whole podcast is because Elizabeth is like not a Star Trek person. You are not a Star Trek person when I took you to the con. I'm at school now, and I have already convinced somebody to start watching Star Trek, and I started her with Sub Rosa. No regrets. She loved it, and she's ready to watch more, and she is now, she has her own personal account on my Paramount Plus.
I love it.
What?
Sorry, go ahead. No, I was going to say, I think up until that point when we went, I had seen five mm-hmm. or six episodes, and that was it. And they were all varied from TNG to Voyager to DS9. So I had seen one to two of each franchise, and that was it.
What episodes did I show you before we went?
Lord. there was Sub Rosa. We didn't see that.
No, we watched Sub Rosa in sure? Vegas.
That's right. We watched it the night we got there.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we left.
Was it Remember Me?
Yes. We saw that one. We saw Data's Day.
Yeah. So Cause and Effect. It's mm-hmm. all Cause and Effect. Data's Day. Remember Me. Because we watched Remember Me. We watched part of it before your mom's birthday. We watched a couple episodes of Lower Deck.
Two.
I think it was like, it was Moist Vessel.
Yes.
And it was, God, what was the other one? The Doppel or Duples? A Flurry of Duples? What the fuck is it called? Hold on. It was the one where those little guys like multiplied when they got embarrassed.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. That one.
Hold on.
It's where they got stressed out. Right? It was a species that multiplied when they got stressed out.
Yeah, it is going to bother me. It's all on the PowerPoint that I made.
Do listeners know that you made a PowerPoint? Because we should discuss.
We've watched. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned it on here. We've watched the game. We watched.
The baseball game.
No, that's not the one I'm talking.
Which one?
I'm talking about the one with Wesley and Ashley.
Oh, Jones. God. Yeah. Remember that, Jim.
But yeah, we did watch the Hollow Suite. Take Me Out to the Hollow Suite, yes. The DS9 episode. And then I think we watched Resolutions, Macrocosm from Voyager, and Bride of Chaotica. We watched a lot, actually.
Is Resolutions Voyager?
Yeah, that's the bathtub episode.
Oh, we definitely watched that.
Macrocosm is Tanktop Janeway.
I will only remember it as Macrocosm Janeway. That's how I remember that episode.
That was one of my cosplays. we watched Scientific Method. The one with the invisible people and Seven of Nine.
Yes.
We watched Bride of Chaotica.
We did watch that.
Fairhaven.
Yes, with Irish boy Michael.
Yeah, the one that my based off of that I wrote.
Yes, yes.
Which I don't know if people know that, but I do write fan fiction. I am not going to give you my username, so just live with the knowledge I do that, and you're never going to read it.
So we. But if you do, it's a good one, so you should read it.
Thank you, thank you. I'm currently working on two more. Yeah, yes. I'm working on a Beverly and Janeway one.
Yes,
and a Seven of Nine and Janeway one. Janeway deserves love. She is always in one of my fanfics.
She does. She deserves it.
So, the Naked Now. We watched The Naked Now.
We definitely watched that.
I love that episode. So we watch quite a bit. We watch 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We watched 10 episodes.
Oh, that's way more than I remember watching.
But that's still not a lot compared to 177 per season. Of the 90s episodes.
I like how you know that number.
Yeah. Well, because I listen to podcasts about Star Trek and they drop the number a lot. So that's the only reason I know.
It's 177 for Voyager?
I think so.
Okay.
It's in the 170s for like TNG, Voyager, and Deep Space Nine. I'm not sure about, I think Enterprise got cut short. Are you looking it up?
No. I'm just thinking that I have 2,000 more episodes to go.
Oh my God, don't do that.
I mean, I'm gladly going to watch them. It's just a lot of numbers.
It is a lot of numbers. But it's also like you don't have to watch all of them. Like, I haven't watched Enterprise. I don't know if I will. I started the first episode and I can't get through it, you guys. I'm trying. I'm really trying. The theme song alone throws me off.
You showed that to me.
I don't like the theme song. And I do want to watch Discovery because Michelle Yeoh's in it.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Yeah. And there's, I think Tig Notaro's in it too, which is just cool.
Yes.
And then I like Strange New Worlds, Picard. I think that's, well, okay. So I like a lot of them, but there are a few that I haven't watched yet. And I still haven't finished the first season of TOS yet. But so we get ready for the con. So on my little car that I had
Barb
back home with you, my car was named Barb, everyone. She was a star. She was named after Barbara Streisand and Barbarella at the same time, because apparently I just also really like sci-fi. She was gold. She was this pretty gold color. So I always said she was a security officer. She had a little chevron on her butt. And I wrote in markers on there. What did I write? I wrote something about supporting SAG-AFTRA and the WGA.
You put we support SAG-AFTRA and the WGA.
Yeah, and I think I wrote like STLV 2023 and then Live Long and Prosper on the other side. But I just really wanted to make, or like I wanted it to be known that like the
Sorry, actor... you cut out again. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. It was nothing that you needed to respond to, but okay. Talking about like what I wrote on the thing. I just really wanted to put somewhere on the vehicle about SAG-AFTRA and the WGA, because the Star Trek actors who are on the board of directors for SAG went through hell in order to ensure that the actors were able to go to the convention and not break any SAG rules, because while And upon recording this, I don't know when we'll put this episode up, because we are waiting until the SAG agreement is reached in order to put up all of these episodes in solidarity. But we're still recording it because we got busy lives. So we're just doing it. We know we have a moment, but they still haven't reached an agreement. They just announced like a few days ago that AMPTP left the negotiating table and don't want to come back. So I wanted it somewhere on my car that we like supported that, because it was huge. Michelle Hurd, who plays Raffi, was a
She was amazing.
Huge. She was a huge reason why the actors were able to go. Because for a lot of them, it's the livelihood. Like, they make so much money at those conventions. And a lot of the actors that aren't, like, working as much or aren't as, quote-unquote, big names or whatever, like, their income is, like, largely through the convention circuit. So she really worked hard for that, which is awesome, because then we got to see a lot of people. Some people did drop out because they were standing in solidarity with SAG-AFTRA and the WGA, which at this point, WGA has reached an agreement, so we're super happy for them. Still waiting for SAG. So people did drop out in solidarity, which made me so sad.
I know.
I cried. So I am an actor, and one of the reasons that I decided to still pursue acting is largely in part because of Gates McFadden, as well as Kate Mulgrew. And Kate Mulgrew is one of the people that pulled out only a few weeks before in order to stand in solidarity, which I fully support, but I was supposed to get like an autograph with her, and I was going to thank her for inspiring, but there's always another time, or maybe even professionally, who knows. And also Robbie Duncan McNeil pulled out. He played Tom Paris, and he's a director now, but yeah, there were some people that did pull out, but a lot of the regular cast members did go, with the stipulation that they weren't necessarily allowed to say Star Trek. It was really funny, actually. It was really funny. like they would, I know this is speeding forward a little bit, but it was like, we'll talk about it more, but like some of the panels, they would be like, the thing that we're not allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
Something which was super funny, because it's like, we all know why they were doing what they were doing, and for the most part, everybody, all the actors were really good about not mentioning or promoting any struck work, because of the SAG deal. But yeah, so we got Barb ready. We drove from where we live, or where we lived, to Las Vegas. Very long road trip, it felt like, right? I feel like it was it smooth? Was it? I don't even remember. I mean, that's not. People are here for, but I just want to know.
It was smooth. I think we were anticipating, so I think we were ready to be there, so it felt a little bit longer. But in terms of like the actual hour time, it was pretty solid. We stopped at the OG Del Taco, which was fun. And then
for listeners that live in Southern California, in Barstow, it's the original Del Taco there. Look it up. They, if you like Del Taco, they pack the shit out of their
they do
than any regular Del Taco. So if you like, if you want that, go there, go to Barstow if you're close and up for the drive.
I just wanted to see for myself if the legends were true, and they were. But yeah, I think it was mostly the anticipation, and plus we left a little bit later because we had to make that stop at the beginning. But overall, I think we were just very looking forward to it / wanting to get there. And it was hot because we had left earlier. And there's that one stretch where it's like, please turn off your AC so your car doesn't overheat. Oh, and Barb was a teeny tiny little.
That.
Barb, for those of you who don't know, like Taylor described, small but mighty. But it's a little four-cylinder. So when we're going across, you don't want to take the risk. And so we had the AC for most of the time up to like the high level, but there's that last like hour and a half stretch where we had it on the lowest one, and both of us were just like, ah, like in the car with the heat.
So ready to be there.
Yeah.
So we get there. What are your first impressions walking into the hotel where the convention's taking place? Because it takes consistently at the Rio. My first year, it wasn't at the Rio, it was at Bally's, but for renovation reasons, but this past year it was at the Rio, which means, so the Rio, for those of you that don't know the geography of Las Vegas, it's okay, I had to look it up too, and I didn't actually know this until I was like, oh shit, we're kind of away from everything. The Rio isn't on the main strip, it's kind of a little bit off to the side, so it's kind of its own little bubble, as opposed to Bally's, which is like connected to everything else on this strip. So we get to the Rio, first impressions, go.
I had never been in like staying. Well, I stayed once the last summer with my friend in a casino, but I was just like, oh man, there's a lot of people. Oh, it smells like a lot of smoke in here. And yeah, there's a lot of smoke in here. There's a lot of costumes that I don't recognize or understand fully. Tons of people, just like constant movement, constant movement. There was just people, like, I feel like the people who were actually there to stay in the casino was a very small percentage compared to everybody else there for the convention. So it was just constant movement and just like immediately, like, just kind of like a chaotic energy of just like, bah, Star Trek. Like, yeah. When you walked in.
I think as we were walking into the hotel, we immediately saw a kid in a Ferengi head, like full yes. head mask. And that mm-hmm. was like the moment for me where I was like, oh, that's where I got excited. I was just like, oh, hell yeah. Like, I'm so stoked. Like, we've arrived.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
no longer Earth. It is the Star Trek universe now.
Yeah. I remember that kid. I was like, I was excited, but also like not starting to get anxious, but I was just like, I have no clue what is going on. And so I was just kind of like following your lead, because the first day we didn't go, we were checking in, and then we were going on the next day on that Thursday, right?
Yeah, so we okay. got in on a Thursday.
Like, we were going on Friday, yeah.
And we went on Friday and Saturday, and then we left on, like, mid-Sunday. And I had a sit ticket for Sunday, but we were tired. We didn't want to get up, which is so fair. But, yeah, so getting to the convention is always, like, fun, because it's the immediate, like, you see all the Star Trek shirts, you see all of the little badges, especially because we got there on the first day of the convention. There weren't as many people as the weekend, like Saturday especially, but still you could just feel the energy. And so we got our room, the guy was really nice and like upgraded us, which was like so cool, because I think
that was very nice.
That's like just one bed, like a king size, and then we ended up getting two, which was so cool.
He upgraded us to a queen suite, I think.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was very nice.
And then, so we're getting on the elevators. this was the moment that I was like, oh shit, I'm here. Like, because when I went last, or the prior year, I only went for one day. And I was only there to see Gates McFadden, because her podcast really helped me in life. And so I just was like there to like see her and like see some panels, see Kate Mulgrew's panel, but then like leave. So I was only there for a day. So I did not see that many people. And also the first time I went to the convention, I had only seen two series. I had only seen TNG and Voyager, but this time I had finished Deep Space Nine, Voyager multiple times, TNG multiple times. I watched Strange New Worlds, Lower Decks. Like, I was very much more into the fandom than I had the first time. Like, I listened to podcasts by other, like, content creators that watch Star Trek. So I was much more in it. So this was even new for me to some extent, because I hadn't been there when it had been active. So we're walking towards the elevators, and this really tall, gray-haired woman walks out, and she's gorgeous. And I looked at her just to smile, and then she walks by, and I realize that it was fucking Terry Farrell. And we were tired. Like, we just wanted to be in bed. But I feel like after she walked by me, you smiled at her as well, just because you had no idea who the fuck that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, so I have no frame of reference at this point, because I haven't seen a lot of these actors. I've seen in other shows, but a lot of them I have not. So Star Trek was my first exposure to them, and I haven't seen them since they starred in the show, so I don't know what their later selves look like. And so we're walking to the elevator, and it was legit like a slow motion moment that would happen in like a movie or like a meet cute of some sort. So we're walking, and I see this woman come out of the elevator, and she's gorgeous, of course. And we make eye contact and we smile at each other, and then Taylor smiles at her, and then I just keep walking like, la-di-da, that was a nice person.
But I was walking in front of you.
Yes.
So
you were.
I like my head like
just slow mo, turned around, and you were just like
with my jaw because like people who know Jadzia Dax know she's so influential in the queer community, in a community for women. Like she's just iconic, like Terry Farrell, so cool. So my jaw was on the fucking floor. And we get into this elevator and this guy is like, this stranger is also in there with us. And I just like, I was just like, that's fucking Terry Farrell. Like I was flipping out. And the guy in the elevator was so sweet. He was like, are you a Dax fan? And I was like, yeah. And she, like Chloe was just like, I don't know what's happening. But it was like,
yeah. I still had no idea.
It was so mind-blowing to me. And that was the moment where I was like, okay, this convention is going to be different than last convention. Because last convention, I only saw like three actors out of the plethora of actors on Star Trek. Like I only talked to like Gates, Jonathan Frakes, and fucking Garrett Wong. Like those were the only ones that I interacted with at all. So I was like blown away. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that woman just like walked by me. That was insane.
Yeah, so it was hilarious.
And it was hilarious too, because it's not even like we were going to the convention yet. And so it was just like a random moment. And I think she like got coffee the next day and was like in line before us. Like she seems really dope as a person.
Yeah, and she was in line.
Yeah. When we talked to her later, which we'll talk about, she was
She was very nice. But yeah, it was funny because even when we were in the elevator, you were like, that was fucking Terry Farrell. I'm like, I have no idea who you're talking about. And she's just like hitting me, that was Terry Farrell. And I was like, I don't know who you're talking about. And then she goes, Chloe, Jadzia Dax. And I was like, holy shit, okay.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like having a non-Trekkie or like at the time, like non-Trekkie, with a Trekkie is so funny because like you're just a person, like you're just chilling, and then I'm like losing my shit next to you, which is very funny. But so the next day we went to the actual convention. So tell me of day one. I know you like day two way better than day one, but just tell me what day one was like for you.
Day one was like sensory overload with so many things. I think just the sheer amount of people, the different like levels of energy that were there, the different levels of people that were there. I feel like there was so many, like even just like right off the bat, like just people come up to, because I wasn't in costume, but for those of you like reference, I had the Women of Star Trek shirt on. So I had like representation of Star Trek, but I was not in costume. And there was 95% of the people there were in costume.
You go to the Brides of Chaotica Instagram, then you can actually see a picture of Chloe and I with Jerry Ryan on day two. And it's a great picture. We all look amazing.
It was so phenomenal picture.
That's the shirt that Chloe was wearing, is the Women of Star Trek one. Okay, yes. Keep going.
Which will be important for when we meet Terry Farrell.
Very
important. Very important. So I just was kind of taking it all in, trying to like calm my own anxieties down because there was just so many different energies, like constant just exposure to like everything. And I think what sort of hit me the most in summary, I feel like that day was just like, yeah, I think what it was mainly the different levels of, I think, people's expectations of the convention, like what they were expecting to kind of get out of it. And I've met authors that I've loved and been in line and waiting to talk to them and things like that. But I think there was sort of, I feel like for a while, at least on the first day, there was like this frenzied atmosphere. It felt very chaotic in that regard. And I think for a large portion of the first day, I was sort of annoyed, to be honest. I think what was getting to me is that, like, they're humans. Like, go enjoy the experience of meeting these people who have impacted you so much, but also see them as the humans they are. They want human interaction, not these kind of, like, falsified or other types of interactions, if that makes sense. I don't even know if I'm explaining that correctly, but that's sort of like the impression I got.
I will say, like, I did cry when I met Nana Visitor, but I feel like that was for a very different reason than purely, like, she's on a pedestal. Like, she influenced me so much during my, like, audition process for acting schools. She was, like, the reason I got into mindfulness and, like, was able to kind of, like, get through, like, that really difficult time. So I was just, like, super overwhelmed. And her Mama Nana page, for those of you who don't know, Nana Visitor has like an Instagram page where she calls herself Mama Nana. It's very sweet. And she posts like wisdom things, like mental health things, like nervous system regulation things. And for me, I don't necessarily have a mom that I can ask those kinds of questions, that I can be like, hey, how do I deal with this mental health problem? How do I incorporate this mental health practice or mindfulness practice? Like, my mom is just like, my mom's great in so many ways, but she's just not that person that I would go for that kind of advice. So Mama Nana was super helpful as an Instagram page for a long time. So meeting her, I did cry, but she was so sweet about it. She was like, how are you doing? And I was like, good. And she was like, let's take a picture. And so we did. And then afterwards I was like, can I have a hug? And she was so kind. And she gave me, like, an actual hug, like, a long hug. Like, I just sat there and was, like, crying more. And side note, shout out to Nana Visitor for asking every single person who took a picture with her if she could put her arm around them. I just really loved that, because physical interactions are assumed at conventions oftentimes. And we'll talk about Jeri Ryan a little bit later. And our experience with that, but it's just assumed. Like, the consent for physical contact is assumed. And she asked every single person, and I just really respect that, because you never know what somebody's coming in with, especially a character like Major Kira, who, and Nana Visitor, who have both gone through trauma. Like, Nana Visitor as a person has, she's very much more open about it now, and Major Kira is as well. Like, Major Kira has PTSD. Like, let's not forget that. So for her to do that for the fans was, like, really cool. But I did walk away from that, like, sobbing, and people were so kind to me, like, in line, and, like, as I was passing, they were like, you did it, it's okay. So I feel like I did cry for sure when I met her, because I was super like, oh my god, like, you've helped me so much with, like, mental things.
But I feel like that's for, like, a not saying other people's reasons aren't valid, but that's a valid thing, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, but I feel like, a lot of the people we met the first day were vastly different than the people we met the second day. And I feel like mm-hmm. the first day my irritation was starting to ramp up because of that, mainly, like, right. Not because we were there. Like, it was amazing to see the floor and, like, how the booths were set up and just the level of not souvenirs, but, like, the things you could buy for the convention. Like, all of that was incredible.
We'll wrap up the first day. So who did we see the first day? We saw a lot of people the first day.
That's Terry Farrell. You saw Nana Visitor.
Let's talk about our picture with Terry Farrell. So funny. She, you guys, she is fucking hilarious.
She is a gem of a human, and I just want to fucking sit down and have coffee with her and be friends with her. That's literally the vibe that she encompasses that so clearly, and, like, has zero filter in the best way. Like, she's just authentically Terry Farrell, and she is perfection. So we were in line for her picture, and that was the day we saw her in Starbucks. So people were, like, you know, saying hi to her there and everything. Mm-hmm. But we were in line, and I had the Women of Star Trek shirt on, which I mentioned earlier, because it's crucial to our interaction with Terry Farrell. So we're in line. Taylor, I think you were in front of me, so you kind of started walking up first, so I was kind of right behind you. And she just turns and looks, and she was like, oh my god, am I on your shirt? And I was like, yeah. Like, just kind of, like, kind of quiet. I was like, yeah. And she goes, am I in the center of your shirt? And the photographer's, like, waiting to snap the picture. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you're front and center. And she's like, fuck yeah, I'm in the center of your picture. I will be in the center of your fucking shirt anytime. Like, so the photographer just snapped the picture right as all three of us are just cracking up, because I did not expect a celebrity to cuss, one. And also, it was just so not what I was expecting, because everybody else in front of us was just like, hi, how are you? Great picture. Hi, how are you? Great. And then she just turns, am I on your shirt?
Which is so, can we just talk about the, like, low-key humility of Terry Farrell to be like, am I on your shirt? Yeah,
exactly.
Fucking Gen Z. Yes, you're on my shirt. Like, yeah. It was so funny because, yeah, honestly, that picture is both my least favorite and favorite picture.
Same.
We all three of us, including Terry Farrell, laugh like triple chin. But it's my favorite picture because Terry Farrell made us laugh so hard because it was so funny. Like, she was just so genuine. And we saw her again because she did like autographs and booth stuff.
We saw her
and we saw her again the next day and just chatted with her a little bit at her booth. And it was the same. Like, she was just like so down to earth. Like, she saw us and she was like, holy shit, have I like, oh my God. Did I see you guys today? And we were like, no, that was yesterday. And she was like, oh, I was going to say that's the longest fucking day of my life. Like, so casual. And like, if you know Jadzia Dax, his character, it's just very different energies. Which, I mean, they're actors. So, of course, I think Marina Sirtis and Deanna Troi are very different as well.
Her interaction was so great.
Yeah. Because one of my favorite things that I did is because the actors couldn't talk about Star Trek directly, I would tell them about my acting and be like, thank you, because honestly, Star Trek as a whole is the reason I'm still an actor today. And a lot of them inspired me in different ways. And so, like, when I talked to each person, I was like, hey, I'm like an actor. I'm starting at this like really good school in this really big city. Like, thank you for your inspiration or whatever. And they all had such good advice to give, which was really cool. Like, one thing I love about the Star Trek actors that happened last year as well as this year is they're so generous with their advice for other actors. And they are so supportive of newer actors, especially with the SAG, this SAG strike going on. So, like, Terry Farrell was, like, super real about it. Like, when I'm like was getting an autograph from her, I told her, like, just thank you for what you've done for like women. Like, it's thanks to you that I can have roles like that. And she was just like, you know, go do things, make mistakes, like, it's okay, like, you'll get over them, that kind of thing. And then the next day she was like, the industry is fucked. And I was like, yeah, I know. And she was like, no, it's like super shitty. And I was like, yeah, I know. And she basically was, like, telling me how she left, like, the show because of – and she did – it was so funny. She didn't say, I left Star Trek, because she was like, the reason we're here, I left that because of industry things. And she was like, but we're storytellers, and that's why we love to do it. And then our visitor, too, was like – she was so sweet. When I told her I got into, like, grad acting school – she got so excited and she like put her hands up and was like, yes. Like, she was so excited and so supportive. And she was like, write down like what you want from your career and things that you're willing to do for it, things you're not. Like, they're all just so generous. Like, we teased at this a little bit, but my interaction with Marina Sirtis was fucking amazing. Cause first we're standing in line and she is just like fully just says what's on her mind, and I love it. Like, this guy went before us and he was like telling her how to spell something, and she was like, I know how to spell a four letter fucking word. Like,
it was his name. It was like Sean or something. Yeah, I think it was Sean.
Super
something.
Simple. And she was like, I'm not stupid. Like, I know how, but obviously joking, like in a very not serious way. But that was like super funny. And when I went up there, I was kind of just like, thank you for like, because she advocates for women in the industry. She is a spitfire. And so I was like, thank you for that. And she was, it's a blur because it was so long ago, but she was basically like, oh my God, I would hate to be an actress, right? Like, starting out right now. Like, it's so hard. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, but just keep doing it. Like, don't give up. I think she gave me a high five. Yeah, she gave me a high five. For super sweet. Like, she was like, good for you. Like, that's awesome, but it's really hard. But don't stop. Like, keep doing it. Like, it doesn't matter if you're, like, you get your breakout role now or in 10 years or in 15 years or in 20 years. And I was kind of like, ah, yeah, I'm not going to stop. So, which was just super fun because she also mentioned, and I know that, like, Deanna Troi gets a lot of flack for being, and Chloe, you're not going to like this because I know that you really like Deanna Troi. That character gets a lot of shit from a lot of people as being, quote unquote, useless and being like just the boobs and like not contributing or whatever.
I'm going to stay silent on this topic.
Yeah, I feel like we as women know that's not true. However, that's how the character was perceived for a very, very long time.
People need some glasses.
But she even mentioned when we were talking to her that like people thought she was an overnight success. They were like, oh yeah, she got Star Trek and she was an overnight success, which is not true. She had been doing theater,
right? Yeah,
small roles on TV shows and films and stuff for like 15 She's, years.
Yeah, she said like, I think she said like 14 or 15 years, and she was like
it's never an overnight success. Yeah. If you ever see anybody that you think is an overnight success, they're probably not. That's like, true. You probably just assume that because maybe they were in a bunch of indie films that you didn't see. But that's not necessarily true. So I took a picture with her. She was awesome. Gave me a little hug. She was super, super sweet. Super funny. And then I went to Gates because I had met Gates the prior year and had been like, I'm auditioning for grad schools because of you. Thank you. And then when I met her this time, I was like, I'm going to a grad school. Like, ah. And so she was super duper cool. And she was like, oh my God, like, that's so cool. Like, she knew the one that I was talking about. She was like, okay, like, everything that they tell you, like, don't take it personally. Like, just giving like really great advice. Hers was funny though, because she was like, because it's acting school, and she was like, just say yes to everything, like, because they're trying to like help you develop as an actor. Like, it's none of it's personal. Just say yes to everything. Like, take risks. Say yes. And I was like, okay, you got it. We took a picture together, and then as she was writing my little autograph, she just went, as we were leaving, she was like, unless somebody asks to sleep with you, then say no. Like, wait a second. Don't do that. And I was like, I got you, girl. Don't worry. Like, I will definitely say no to that. So it was just super, she was super cool. And she, a lot of the TNG cast is just so down to earth and like genuine. Like, they're so kind. Garrett Wong was also really nice. He's a chatter. I love him. He like really gives his full attention to each fan that like comes through, which is like super cool. He played Harry Kim. And I had also seen him the prior year. And so we talked a little bit about that. And he like gave me some more like acting advice, which was really cool. And then I watched a panel at the end of the day, but I think you were so zonked. You just went like back.
Oh yeah, you did. I was like, I feel like I need to sleep for 10 hours. You have fun at the panel. Yeah,
which was, I feel like we watched a panel earlier in the day and it was like the moderator was not good at all. And
we caught the tail end.
Yeah. There were two panels that we saw. One of them
was the first day, and then the second day we saw the one with Michelle Hurd, Jeri Ryan, and the actor from Picard, who I always forget his name, but he's in a lot of things.
Ed Spaliers.
Yes.
You and I went to two together, and then I went to one by myself, and the ones that we went together had the same moderator that we just weren't a fan of. We just didn't like the questions.
That's right.
But the one that I went to was so much better, and I was like alone, and I was like, damn it, like Chloe should have been here, especially because Terry Farrell was on that one.
I don't remember that.
I told you it was all the Deep Space Nine people, and you were like, I don't know anything about Deep Space Nine, and I
should have rallied.
I know, I told you, I was like, Terry Farrell was here, and so was Nana Visitor, and you went back, which is fine. It was an exhausting day though. It was exhausting.
Should have rallied. It's fine. Next time.
The next day was Jerry Ryan and Michelle Hurd, which we were so stoked about. We saw the panel with them that was like pretty good. The questions were just so weird. Like, I get that they couldn't talk about Star Trek, but I feel like some of the questions they asked were just like not good.
Yeah, I feel like I can't even remember some of the specific ones because I honestly feel like I blocked them out. But there was some, for example, at the questioning level of like, what are your favorite colors? Which we would love to know their favorite colors, but also like there's other questions you could ask that aren't related to Star Trek that are related to their lives or acting or something yeah. else that like, would have been like better.
Some of the people definitely took control of the panel. I think that's the one why the one that I went to by myself is that the actors themselves were like, we're going to take a little bit of control over this. So like Armin Shimmerman talked a lot about like SAG and the strike and like why they were doing this. Nana Visitor talked about her bird, which is always the best.
She has a bird?
Yeah. I think I told you about this. She had a bird that when she lived in New York City, she used to like stuff it in her jacket and take it everywhere with her because he was so loud.
I didn't know this.
So loud in her apartment that she complains from the neighbors.
Oh, no.
Around with him in her fucking jacket on like the New York City subway and like into the grocery store and shit. And just like had her bird with her all the time. And he's one of the ones that talks. So he used to like mimic her laugh. Oh. And then I told you I told you this. Her bird like sent someone to the hospital because her bird like doesn't like anybody but Nana Visitor.
That like, you told me. That you told me.
Like, it tolerates like her husband and like but it'll hang out with like her dogs and stuff. And I guess, like, somebody saw that the bird was out because they let the bird, like, fly free. And that person ran away and, like, fell and had to go to the hospital. But, like, the bird didn't do anything. Right. The reputation of the bird hurt this. And then, like, did I tell you about the story that she told about her bird at the bird hotel?
Wasn't it mean to the other birds?
No. So she got a call before the Star Trek cruise one time was about to take off that her bird or that somebody broke into the like animal hotel and stole all the birds except for hers. It's like so good. I love Nana Visitor. She's so like that panel was better, I think, because they took more control. But the one that we even saw with Ed Spaliers, Michelle Hurd, and Jerry Ryan, like, some of the questions were, like, not good. I personally, fan questions, I don't always like, because you never know what you're going to get. And sometimes it could be weird questions. Sometimes it's just, like, fangirling, which is, I get it. People don't, I'm not trying to be an asshole. Like, I get it. But it's just, like, not my favorite thing sometimes because you never know what you're going to get. And I get really bad secondhand embarrassment. So if I perceive something's going to go poorly, I immediately want to, like, run out of the room and cry. Like, I don't like.
Well, the ones we got for ours, too, were the fan ones, at least. There was probably about two or three valid good ones. And then I feel like there was a couple where you're like, yeah, okay. And then there was two where I was like, what are you doing? Like, and again, like – I don't mean that in a bad way because I'm sure a lot of them were nervous to ask a question, but how many times, and that's got to be hard, especially to come up with one, but also like how many times did they say they couldn't talk about Star Trek? And then the fan questions came up.
And people would literally go up there and like talk about Star Trek.
Yes. And we did get one weird question on that one. And then we got one that I think was asking Jerry Ryan about something with 7 and 9, and Jerry Ryan looked very apologetic and she was just like, I can't answer that.
Yeah.
But there was one with that guy who said about Raffi and 7 and 9.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
That was weird.
I can't remember. I feel we both heard something different, but it was basically like either y'all should kiss more or like whatever. Like it was very uncomfortable and I was like,
yes.
Okay.
And you can see them both on stage kind of being like, is that your question? But then he asked a different question.
I mean, I'd be super uncomfortable.
Yeah. But they took it in stride.
That panel wasn't great, but it was still fun to hear like the three of them like chat and stuff and like Jerry Ryan's just such a fun person, and like Michelle Hurd's such a badass talking about like SAG-AFTRA.
Oh yeah, she killed it. Like, yeah. She's just a force to be reckoned with, I feel like, in general. But mm-hmm. her speech about it, and just her just like driven advocacy behind it, is so much fun to mm-hmm. watch her talk just in general, but also like especially about the things that she's passionate about when she's on the board for that. And just, she's the one who worked her butt off to get everybody there and have the ability to even have the con during the strike. And so that was like really awesome to watch. And then also it was very sad about Jerry Ryan's body double, but that was a really, I'm glad that they included that though, because I feel like, again, it's just a reminder that these people have connections with other people, and like it's so important to them, and like you make all of these like lifelong bonds with them. And
God, and didn't somebody donate like $2,000 like on the spot?
She was the one that got to get up to moderate.
They literally said, like, the moderator was like, if somebody donates $2,000 right now to this cause, like, come up and I'll let you like ask questions or like
moderate. She got to be up there for about 10 minutes, and like everybody up on stage is like crying. Jerry Ryan's crying. Michelle Hurd's crying. Like, everyone's crying. And then this lady just kindly donates this money. And like, she even said the crazy, again, awesome part of humans, I feel like she didn't even want to necessarily stay up there. Like, when they had the camera on her and stuff, she was just going to continue like sitting in the audience. Like, she was just donating. And the guys were like, come on, come up here. Like, and so she got to go up there and moderate. But yeah, that was a really, really cool part to see, and also very just like heartfelt too for part of the panel. But that was I think that was the tail end of the panel, I would say, for that one, went better than the beginning.
Yeah, I'd agree. So after we did the panel, we fucking booked it to the photo op line for Jerry Ryan,
the most chaotic part of the entire
fucking insane.
People just
was so fucking stressful. I swear, by the end of the day, I was like, if somebody asks me if this is
mine for Jerry Ryan
one more time, I'm gonna lose it.
I know, it was so bad.
You guys, this line,
it was a mob. It wasn't a line.
The fucking entirety of the convention floor.
It was like, the entire hallway.
It was insane. Like, at one point, I think I left to see if, like, Tawny Newsome was at her table.
Yes, you did.
And, like, I would, like, all the way to the, like, convention floor room, I was still passing by the Jerry Ryan line. And then you texted me and I came back. And
who knows, whoever the hell was that guy directing traffic that day, I want to give him a damn medal. And he needs to come back every year, because he was taking no one's shit. Especially because the problem was, why there was such a mob, for those of you listening, it was because some of the panels were running late, and also that same room was being used not just for Jerry Ryan, but for Jerry Ryan and I think it was the doctor, the joint picture. So like, people were all kind of waiting around to hear like when people were lining up. But Jerry Ryan sold over, it was over 600 people who were waiting to take a picture. So we were all waiting to like figure out where to line up. And again, most people were super chill, but you had this group of people who was not chill. And so this security guard, this guy was trying to control the line, and the security guard, loved him dearly. When it finally became time for us to line up, he like yelled to everybody so they could hear. He's like, we are about to start lining up for Jerry Ryan. We are going to do this in an orderly fashion with no pushing or shoving, and there will be no spots saved or any, like, because there was no official line. Mm-hmm. And so people were trying to form a line when there wasn't actually one. And then, of course, when it came time for us to line up, there was no orderly fashion whatsoever. So Taylor and I were just like, we're just going to go towards the back. I'm not going to deal with this. But it's just like the insanity of some of the interactions. And again, Jerry Ryan is a wonderful actor, super talented, obviously gorgeous. But like, she's a human.
But she was so nice.
Oh, she was so nice.
And gorgeous. Let's be real.
It's Jerry Ryan. She is a queen.
But yeah, I took a little note out of Nana Visitor's book when I saw Jerry Ryan, and I was like, can I put my arm around you? Because I just can't imagine being touched all day by strangers. And so I was like, I'm just going to ask. Like, I feel like the answer will be yes. But like, you know, just because, like, Yeah, as being her and being at these kinds of things must be so overwhelming, just because you're getting touched by random people all the time. A lot of assumed consent, which I understand because it is like really fast paced, but I think it's just good to ask people, even if you think the answer is going to be yes. Like, consent is so important.
Yeah,
even in that kind of situation. And then after that, we went into the line for Michelle Hurd.
Yes, that was the one where she was delayed a little bit, I think, because the either joint pictures or the panel or something like that.
Yeah, but we made friends, and that was
they
super
were so nice.
Nice.
They were that so fun.
Amazing.
They were awesome. It was her and her aunt, I think, and then her friend. Yeah.
Friends that they had met through the convention like years prior, which was super cool. That's one of the things that I love about conventions, is that you can build friendships. I don't know if I will, because I'm pretty shy. Like, like talking to people about it is like super fun, but I'm also like, I don't know if I'm gonna like be like, oh my God, let's be friends. Like, I just get nervous. But they were so nice. That old lady, like, called you out for your bullshit about like not calling yourself or no, you are. Like, they were just so nice. And so they were our company like the rest of the time, pretty much. Like,
yeah, pretty much the whole time we were on the floor, I feel like.
Yeah, the entire rest of the time into Michelle Hurd, who was amazing.
Yeah, she's incredible.
She's so dope. And you and I are both Law & Order SVU fans.
Yes.
And so she was in like the first couple seasons of that. So it was super cool because like I knew her from that. I knew her from Picard. She was so such an advocate for SAG actors. So dope. Like when I saw her, I was like, oh, I'm going to school. I'm going to acting school. And she was like, oh my God, where? And I was like, here. And she was like, I went there. And I was like, oh my God, really? Like, I didn't know that. And then she was like, just so encouraging. And, like, on my little autograph from her, she literally put, like, I can't wait to work with you. And then, like, when we said goodbye, she was like, I'll see you on set. And I was like, ah! It's really, it's impactful as an actor to have somebody who's established have that kind of support. It's like, it doesn't matter that it was just a 2-minute interaction. It means the world when you're entering the kind of career that's fucking terrifying and so luck of the draw as far as success goes, and to have her like say that was super duper meaningful for me. And I know she said some like pretty cool stuff to you as well about like being teacher.
So just to comment on what you said too, I feel like every single person you interacted with, the impression I got from them is that they were all, like you had mentioned previous, like very, very genuine in their words. Like, they weren't just saying that to say that or to comfort you or be like, oh yeah, cool, have fun, like I'll see you later. Like, you could tell they genuinely meant it, which is probably such, like you said, an amazing feeling to have when you're pursuing this thing that's scary and sometimes unpredictable and things like that. So I feel like that was like, I noticed that with all of them, because I went up with you with a couple of them, and then I think for Jerry Ryan's I couldn't, but most of them I did, and they were like 100% meaning what they said, which was really cool. Michelle Hurd, she was cool. So I'm not an actor, I'm a teacher and a writer, which I said much more confidently when I talked to Michelle Hurd after the pep talk from the lovely aunt that we met. But her sister, I guess, or one of her family members, I can't remember, is also a teacher. I think it was her sister. So I just thanked her because she's also a huge advocate in the education community as well. Like, she constantly talks about the need for equity and how we can better help our future generations and why school is so important, and is just really great in that realm too. And so I was just thanking her for that support, because even if I don't do it for forever, I still love teaching. And that's, you know, my prime job is to help the kids learn what they need to, not just about school, but life as well. And so it's very nice to have that support from outside individuals in other industries, because teachers need more of it, those of you listening. And so it was really nice, and she was super sweet, and she asked like what subject I taught and where I teach, and she was just like, keep doing it, like, we need you guys, thank you so much, and like put her hands on my shoulder and was just like, just keep doing it kind of thing, and just said thank you to me, which is, you know, really cool to hear and get some gratitude from other people, especially for someone like her who fights for so many things and is and is just a force to be reckoned with. And so that was a really fun interaction. And I, like Taylor mentioned, like knew her from Law and Order, and she was one of my favorite characters when she was on Law and Order. So it was really cool to meet her and the person behind so many of these movements going on presently. So she was one of my favorites that we met. I mean, I loved everybody we met, but that was just a really cool connection point to have with her.
Yeah, she was so cool. You guys, go follow Michelle Hurd on Instagram. Like, she's so real. She's so cool.
Yes.
I love her. And then I can't, did we end kind of early that day? I feel like we ended low-key kind of early.
I think after the Michelle line, you had the autograph with Jerry Ryan. So I like sprinted to see if the pictures were printed already so that you could get it signed. I went back twice, remember? I was like, nope, it's not there yet.
I do remember. And she was really so kind. Like, I went up there just, I mean, it was so fast. I, like, had to spit everything out as quickly as fucking possible. I had to be like, thank you, I'm an actor. Thank you for your support for SAG. Like, blah, blah. And she was just like, good luck on your, like, future. Like, just very genuine. Like, that's really cool. Like, I have, like, we have to stand up for people so that there's a career and an industry to go into. So, like, best of luck to you. So, she was really kind as well. But the bigger names are so fucking fast. Like, you have to, they like filter you through like fucking cattle, which I don't understand because these people are there for hours on end and I'm sure it's fucking exhausting.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm pretty sure we like ended the day, we went home. I think I forced you to watch, or we went back to the hotel room. I think I forced you to watch like Sub Rosa, and
I thought we did that on Thursday.
I can't remember when.
We watched some episodes.
Episodes like every night when we did. Watched like Sub Rosa. I think we watched The Killing Game.
We did watch that one.
The two-parter. We watched a couple Deep Space Nine episodes, I think, as well.
We did. I do remember those ones.
Yeah. And then we like booked it out of there on Sunday morning.
Yeah, because you originally had tickets for Sunday because that's when Michelle Hurd was originally going to be doing things. And then she ended up tabling. And so that's why we were like, oh, let's leave early on Sunday to beat everyone out.
I was like, get me the fuck out of here. Because it's just, it's a lot. It's exhausting.
Yeah. It's a lot of emotion. I feel like you're so excited. And then for you, especially because you had bought so many of the autographs beforehand, like the actual like official ones. Like, you're telling them things and trying to remember what to, you know, say. And these people, like, had such an impact on your career and what you're pursuing. And then just being in that energy constantly around everyone who's, like, excited and ready to go and, like, wants to talk to everybody. It's exhausting, though. And I can't even imagine the fraction of which those actors feel at the end of those days.
I know. If I ever like book a Star Trek show, I'll report back and I'll tell you how exhausting it is. It's insane.
I can't even imagine if I did like a book signing. That's probably like, I guarantee you 1,000 times less than that. I would be tired at the end of that.
No, that's so much energy, like talking to people.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot.
Well, and also like making it an authentic thing that you're saying, you know? Like, not just being like, hi, cool, thanks for coming, bye. Like, that's not what people came for. And you want to give them your authentic self anyways. So having actual connections, but in these really small time frames is a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Chloe.
Yes.
Would you go to another Star Trek convention?
I'm already planning 2024, baby. End of summer. I have made it my goal to finish all of the episodes that I can by that point. I've made it my goal to finish at least TNG, Voyager, and DS9 by the time that we go again, because I feel like those are the people we met the most of there, and also just the people I'm most familiar with, and also like the storylines I'm most familiar with. I know I was super stressed the first day, but it was so damn fun. And if anybody's never been, please get yourselves tickets and go, because it is so fucking cool.
Like, the actors are great. They're so genuine. The people that you meet, that I've met, like, they're just so excited that you love this thing that they also love. Like, everybody's just like nerding out. The costumes are good. I was Macrocosm Janeway the first day, and then the second day I was Janeway from like Year of Hell, except I have long hair, so I didn't have the I didn't get a wig. I'm sorry. Kill me. Sue me. So sue me. But it's such a good time. It really, really is. And I'm so excited, or I'm so happy that I was able to rope you into it, because I knew you'd have a good time because it's so fun. And I think we're gonna make it a thing, a yearly thing.
Yes. And, make it our yearly cousins trip, even if other trips do not happen. We are for sure gonna go. Yes. And those of you listening, I'm sure a lot of you have been, but if you haven't, like me, I did have, like I said, some predisposed notions that I was dealing with before I went, but it's so freaking incredible, you guys. Like, even if you haven't seen that many episodes, even if you're not entirely sure, but you have someone who wants you to go with them, like, yes, there's a very, very small percentage, like we mentioned, that are kind of over the top or, you know, not necessarily as respectful to the actors as they can be, but the large majority, everyone is there because they love the show. They love what the shows represent. The actors are so genuinely happy that you're there and want to talk to them about the things that they love doing and the job that they love and the stories that they get to tell. And it's just an incredible place to be. So I highly recommend it. And I am officially a converted to Star Trek. I think I've graduated to at least a mid-level knowledge of Star Trek at this point. I can name all the names of the characters and can tell you what most of the shows are about now. So, but yeah, get yourselves there. And I think don't go in with any sort of idea. Just go and have fun. Just go and like see what it's about and just absorb it all and just let yourself be immersed in Star Trek land for however many days you choose to go.
Well said. That was so well said. I can't do it better than that. So I think with that, we're going to close out this special bonus Star Trek convention recap episode. So you can find the Brides of Chaotica podcast on Instagram at Brides of Chaotica Pod. And if you want to email us, you can email us at bridesofchaotica@gmail.com. And tune in next time to Brides of Chaotica to find out what episode I'm going to force my regular co-host, Elizabeth, to watch next. All right. Thank you for joining me, Chloe.
Thank you for having me. Anytime.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Somehow I feel comfortable here.
Oh, I forgot the word, Taylor. Sorry. We're going to have to cut that out. Okay, since we're editing this part out, what the frick is the word called when exposure? I got it. Okay. I'm good.